Well, first of all, I start by saying God bless to all of you for being here tonight. And I trust you're going to learn something tonight as we delve into this subject, specifically this word, a little bit more than you may have seen it in the past. So I want to start by asking everyone a question. And that is, when you hear the word temple, what do you think about? When you hear that word temple, what do you think about? And what comes to mind? Well, tonight, we're going to look at this word temple as more than just a building. Okay? How about a holy place? Or a spiritual sanctuary where Almighty God is worshipped? In ancient Israel, going back to those days, Jewish males were required to visit this temple 3 times a year. And for specific festivals such as Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Interesting. And these were religious obligations, not just optional visits. They were religious obligations. It took almost 50 years to build this temple, which was a long time. But still yet, it was the most important place in the Jewish society. The temple was the most important place in the Jewish society. Tonight, we're going to look at this word more closely and look at its spiritual significance and representation of the spiritual temple that's in you and I. I've never looked at it this way, but I do now. So the title of tonight's sharing is simply called Taking Care of Your Temple. Taking Care of Your Temple. The Greek word for temple is spelled H-I-E-R-O-N, and it's pronounced Hieron, in John chapter 2. And we're going to be there shortly. In John chapter 2, we'll read how Jesus wasn't very pleased entering this temple for a good reason at this particular time. As we read about the time he overturned the tables in the temple where he found merchants and money exchangers that were doing business with animals for the use of sacrifices and misusing this holy place. That's not what it was for, and yet that's what they were doing. The money exchangers were exchanging foreign currency into the standard coinage that they used in those times and were very dishonest with those who did business with them. So the whole situation was shady at best, bringing great dishonor to God's house, as we will see shortly. So let's read the record. And for this, I would ask everyone to go to the Gospel of John. I'm going to read the NLT because it just opens it up a little bit more clearer. Nothing wrong with the King James. And in the Gospel of John, we're going to go to chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Gospel of John, chapter 2, starting in verse 13. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. Jesus made a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He drove out the sheep and the cattle and scattered the money changers' coins all over the floor and turned over their tables. More than one table here. He turned them all over. Verse 16. Then going over to the people who sold doves, he told them, Jesus speaking, get these things out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a marketplace. So you can see he was very, very disturbed. Verse 17, then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. Jesus says, all right. Jesus replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What? They exclaimed. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days? But when Jesus said, this temple, he meant his own body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered he had said this, and they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. Because of this miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. Verse 24, but Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. No one needed to tell him what mankind is really like. Wow. He knew the hearts of these people. And so that was his mindset. But he didn't stop preaching the word. Now think about this in a spiritual regard. What tables do you and I need to overturn in our lives? Pause. What tables do you and I need to overturn in our lives? We are God's holy temples. You and I are God's holy temples. Temple. When you hear this word, it should cause you to think of a place where honoring is given and that has great peace, that has spiritual significance, and that's who we are, made possible by Jesus Christ as we worship the one true God via that Holy Spirit that is residing in us. The temple is supposed to be holy and clean, not a den of thieves, as we just read. Let me describe the three parts of the temple. We have the outer court. The outer court, this was the largest and most accessible area where the people could worship, make offerings, and gather for religious festivals. It included the altar for sacrifices. Then there was the inner court. In the inner court, this was the sanctuary, a room filled with sacred objects like the menorah, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense, symbolizing the presence of God. Only priests were allowed to enter this area. Only priests were allowed to enter this area. And now, the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. This was the innermost and most sacred part of the temple. It contained the Ark of the Covenant, which housed the Ten Commandments. Only the high priest could enter this area once a year on the Day of Atonement. And it symbolized a dwelling place of God's presence once again. And that's how they looked at it. And that's how important it was. And that's the significance behind the Holy of Holies. I want us to think, and this is really cool, I want us to think of the three parts of this temple as a comparison to our three-part being. Okay? The outer court would represent our physical bodies. The inner court would represent our souls. And the Holy of Holies would represent the Spirit in you and I. Now, transitioning to today, we are now the temple of God and are his dwelling place along with Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Christ, our beloved Savior. So, I wanted to close in these comforting and four warning verses of Scripture. And for this, please go to what we're going to look at. We're going to see what God is saying here concerning destroying anyone who destroys this temple is about. We, as the temple of God, bring things that defile our minds and bodies when it comes to destroying the temples that we are. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Could it be any more clear than that? Now let's go to, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with that high price, so you must honor God with your body. So what does that mean? It means your whole body. Everybody's got situations going on in their life, but what are you putting in that temple? Are you bothering to take care of yourself? You know, remember, you're holding Jesus Christ and God in you. They reside in you. So wouldn't you want to take care of your temple? It caused me to think of stuff that I don't need to do. And it's easy to stop when you see these verses. It really is. So let's take care of our temples. Amen? Amen. So I want to close with this song. Please listen to this song and enjoy it.
I am not my own. own, and now my heart is free. Oh, Maker, come and make what you will of me. There is nothing broken that you cannot repair. So, Lord, I leave my life in your loving care.
Well, as hard as that is for man to accept, we accept it with open hearts that we belong to God. And who better to belong to than the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth? When you get a chance, and you probably have already done this, think about the details in life that God created. The other day, I was massaging our Zeus, because he loves for me to do that, and I was rubbing his knee area, and I could feel all the intricate bones and the different parts and feeling of his knee. And I'm thinking, why would God care about developing a leg that works and all the limbs and cartilage up in an animal? If we said, if a sparrow falls, what more are we worth? If he can do that for an animal, what more does he do for you and I? So again, we need to take care of this temple that he's given us and called us out to be. And our door is always open to let out the good news to other people around us. Amen?
Amen?
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for calling us to be your temples, Father, that we have you in Christ dwelling richly within us. And what a great significance that is. And especially fun and just a super blessing to see the analogies and the comparisons to the physical temples that were around back in the biblical times, and other things in your word that are paralleled with what we have today. So I thank you for showing us in many, many ways of who we are and what we can do. And again, Father, your great, great love, bringing all of this together along with your family. So I pray for each person here tonight, whether they're in Mexico, whether they're here in San Diego, whether they're on the corners of the earth, Father, I pray for them and their significance and their health, their prosperity, and the peace you give us the world could never give us. So help us to continue to be joyful, Father, and rejoice knowing these things as we walk out representing you. And I just thank you for these things, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.